Yeah. So, you know, look, here it is. $500 a month.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good deal for a cottage rental for the month. I mean, that's incredible.
Well, I don't. It's not exactly the like the whole cottage.
It's not the well. No, what are you renting?
Right here in the corner of the picture, you see this little closet when you come in.
Yeah.
That's.
You're renting a closet? How are you going to live in a closet?
I'm going to sleep there. It's just like a cruise cabin.
You can't lay down in a closet.
You can lean.
You can. What are you, a horse? Like horses sleep. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, we're rolling.
All right, well, then let's roll. Well, I'm Rich.
And I'm Mark.
And we are
two guys on Block Island.
What shall we do with Chuck? Oh, all right. It's going to be me introducing this guest. So, longtime friend of mine. And really
longtime friend of a lot of people.
I would, but I don't care about them. Just me mostly.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm pretty long. I was thinking about it. I'm like 40 years.
Really?
Yeah, we met when we were two.
I think regardless.
That math doesn't quite
I think
work.
Regardless, yeah. Our guest is, I think she's one of our unicorns. I've been wanting to interview this person for a while.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad you're here. But wait, without further ado, it's Gail Hall. Yeah, nice to meet
Hi, Gail.
You. Nice to see you, Gail.
Hi.
How's it going?
The long intro always gets
them. I am so nervous.
Don't
be nervous.
Oh, God, please. Look at
let's get right into it. How'd you find yourself on Block Island? Yeah. Was it the family? Was it you? How'd you get here?
Well, I'm happy you introduced this with the word family. I'm actually wearing my dad's sweater today.
Ooh.
I'm roasting and it's itchy. But I'm wearing it because he is the one who introduced me to Block Island.
Okay.
And he passed in May, and we miss him dearly, but I've never worn his sweater, and I'm wearing it. Well, actually, I did wear it my first winters on Block Island. We were ice skating and ice boating and doing all the fun things outside, and that's why he gave it to me. But I found it this morning going through my... What am I going to wear to the interview? And here it is.
You know, no one can see you, right?
I know, but I had to figure out what to wear.
Well, your dad must have been a snappy dresser. It's a good looking sweater.
It's a great sweater,
nothing else.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's an ironic find. So
right?
They came to Block Island first.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad did. My dad's parents and grandparents and great grandparents. My dad summered here when he was a child.
And where was home base for? Your dad's family.
They actually, when they first came here, they would camp.
Okay. And but home base, where they come on the mainland?
Oh, Long Island.
Long Island.
Okay. Port Washington, Long Island.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they would come out here all the time. My father summered here, and I guess my grandfather was a weekend warrior in those days. You know, the father or mother would come on weekends.
Daddy boat.
Yep.
Daddy boat. But yeah, so... He just loved Block Island. Block Island was his thing. And so when I decided to come here and live here, he was very happy for me. So that was good.
And what age were you when you first came here on that first trip?
Oh gosh, our first trip here, I think I was 4 because we had gone to the World's Fair in New York. And then we came out here. We went to DC to visit my mom's parents. They lived in Alexandria and my aunt lived in DC. So we did the World's Fair. We went and saw Kennedy's grave. We came here. I guess I saw the ocean view because it didn't burn down until after that, but I don't really remember it. And we were little. We were teeny. But we grew up in Michigan. My parents raised us in Michigan, so we'd pile in the station wagon every couple of years and come to Block Island.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't an annual pilgrimage, but it was, don't say, you know what?
So you would drive all the way from Michigan to Point Judith?
Yeah.
Straight shot?
Yeah,
or did
well,
you stop on the road?
We would stop. My mom would make a stop.
Well, how many kids in your family?
4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
did you guys have
days,
like a station wagon or something?
We had the family wagon.
The Woody.
Yeah.
Two lying in the back, two sitting in the back seat, and my mom and dad in the front.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know,
no car seats and a pack of smokes.
Whatever.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Are we almost there?
Yeah.
You know, all that.
Yeah.
We have the funniest pictures of us standing in front of a, you know, God only knows what hotel we'd stay at.
Yeah.
Or motel. For a quick overnight, the car overheating on some days, you know, it was just hilarious. But yeah, we did it. And the economical way to go. And then actually we were coming here and there. And then my grandparents had a house here. We'd stay with them. But Tiny Sprague built their house. That's the house my Uncle Mike owns today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm losing my train of thought. Oh, so then I didn't come here for many, many years, but my sister Jerry came out to work. and worked at Finn's and got me the job at Finn's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah. What year-ish was that that you I think started that working was at Finn's?
81 or 82?
81.
Yeah. Because were you there then? Were you at Finn's when I came? Or
no, I think I arrived after you in 83, give or take.
Okay. Yeah. Because we had Andy and I think Dave Aldridge was working there then. And
that was just, so the Dave Aldridge was just prior to my arrival.
Okay.
But I was also slightly younger than you people. And I always want to, you know.
No. You always got to stick that in there, don't you?
Well, no, I'm just saying that. I was
and
a fourth.
You people.
Servers.
Yeah.
No, yes.
You're a 14-year-old kid. I was more interested in talking than working. If I was the boss. Yeah. If I was the boss of me back then, I'd kill me.
Debbie was the best boss ever.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you in 81 ish? Not to
21.
Ask your age. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of easy to remember being a 1960 baby.
Right. And was the drinking age 18 then?
It was 21.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. Already switched.
Perfect. You didn't even
right
have
in.
To go, you know, fake ID in it or
nope.
Sneak it in through windows or anything.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Although it was easy, I think, here. I don't know. Shh, I didn't say that.
I think you snuck through windows because you wanted to.
Yes.
Not, really. Not out of necessity.
I do it anyway.
Hey,
still.
Why use the front door? This would be more fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Hence why they're not allowed at the Biltmore anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And who was your crew? Who'd you hang out with in those wild and woolly early 80s
gosh,
days?
So fun. Liz Langevin. Sheila was then Saborsky, Sheila Sincerio,
yeah,
Gary.
Yeah.
We all hung out at the beachhead. They had karaoke in those days. Oh my God, we had so much fun. Mary Nunn.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Gosh, it was a ton of people. And then, you know, there are all sorts of different side groups. You know, there were always, you know, then you'd go out and everybody went out. Even Freddie Finn would go out and dance at Captain Nick's. I mean, everybody went out. So you just ended up meeting so many different people in so many different ways. And then when I started staying there for the winter, that was a whole different crew.
And when was that?
That was in 84.
Okay. So
you did
like 81, 82, 83 summers back and forth.
Right.
And where were you on the mainland in those days in the early 80s?
One
were
winter
you still
I went
in Michigan
to,
or?
No, I had gone to school at USF. So I think one winter I went back and finished school, college. University of Southern Fun, and then
wait, what?
USF, University of South Florida. We called it University of Southern Fun. Yeah. Orrin Starr makes fun of me because he did go there and he did affirm.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of sun, lots of fun. Yeah still.
So I went back, and then one year I went to the Keys. I went and worked at the Ocean Reef Club with Liz Langevin.
Ooh.
That was in the days of payphones. You know, you had a payphone out on the back deck of Finn's, and she called her maitre d' and said, I've got someone who wants to come and work at the Ocean Reef Club. And so he gave me a job, and it was hilarious.
Was that in Key West or one of the
North Key Largo.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned it before, but that payphone was my home phone. When we lived above Strings and Things.
Was
gotta,
it really?
Yeah, well, you got to go call somebody. I'll be right back. And you run down the back steps onto the deck.
Pocket full
in the
of
winter,
dimes.
No, in the winter, I would actually just pile it on the back of the top of the phone because nobody was looking. Nobody's using it.
So you just leave your coin stash there?
I would just leave
there.
A stash of coins right on top of the phone and just reach up and grab a dime or whatever and put it in there. But
must have been those coins we were using to make those.
I didn't care, you know?
Yes.
So, but yeah. So a winter with Liz down there, and that's
we had so much fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
How was your first winter? Were you like, what did I get myself into, or was it like, this is my place.
Both.
I found it.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell
I'm
us
really
about that process.
50-50. My winter job. I had two jobs. My first job was working at the barn. We called it the barn. It's now the Spring Street Gallery. John Warfel had the contract on that. And we refinished all the furniture for the National Hotel.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was fun. And then in the evenings, I worked at, I bartended at Captain Nick's for Ed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
I didn't know that.
So that's when I started with that crowd of just super
lunatics.
Active people. Yeah. But, you know, we were lunatics by night and super athletic by day. Because those were cold winters. We were ice boating and ice skating and... I think Ed might have told a story about us out on Sockham Pond that night.
Oh, wait.
Car night, dies.
Was that? Were you there that night?
Yes.
We did hear that story. Listeners, if you need reference, go back to Ed McGovern's episode.
Exactly.
Wow. So you were there.
It was hilarious.
And who didn't he try to get someone there like, you're not leaving this? And somebody's wife was like, no, you don't.
Yeah, no, you're not going anywhere.
Not going out on the lake. Not going out on Sacum Pond to jumpstart a car.
Sure. We'll help you jump a car. Yeah. I remember running. Yeah. No, we can't even tell those stories.
Well, you know, your call.
Yeah. But anyway, it was, so again, the winters are so cold. And then in the following winters, if you didn't have the snow and the ice, we were biking throughout the whole entire island. And it was great because there are just so many places to, we would pack a backpack with burritos and beer. And I think a couple of guys even smoked cigarettes, crazy people.
What?
But I know, biking and being so super healthy and then breaking out a cigarette. I mean, we would bike 15, 16 miles in the day. It was the 80s, yeah.
You know.
Just, you know, you're balancing things out.
That's right. You can't be too healthy.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, fun. What were your times at Captain Nick's like? Who were you bartending with?
It was myself and Ed and Karen Hickey. Karen Sprague. But we were only winter. I didn't bartend at Captain Nick's in the summer.
What was
only
the
winter.
Scene like at Nick's in the wintertime?
It was great. I mean, it was really just all the workers would come in. They had two ping pong tables or ping pong and pool. You never knew with Nick. I mean, Nick owned it. And one day, you know, you could play music because everyone wants to hear music. What are you, crazy? The next day, why don't you have the TV on? No one wants to listen to music. You know, it was just very interesting.
And was this when we've had people tell us stories about him. He would build like a false wall, and like people were like, was it the dirt floor days or was there a floor there by the time?
There was a floor. There was a wooden floor on the old side.
But the fireplace was still there.
The fireplace was still there. So poker games would go on in front of the fireplace. And it was just a really fun, easy scene.
Yeah.
Then the year I was working there, he did the addition where the pool and the ping pong came into play.
Okay.
Because he would just add stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the one winter that he turned it into a restaurant, and Fred Leader was the chef. And was myself and Tom Verde, Martha Winters, a whole bunch of us were waitresses. And if people would come out on a weekend in February and it would be like, where are all these people coming from? And Nick would just go get tables from the bar and add them to the restaurant. So there'd be two of us totally in the weeds. And Tom Verity would just be talking. You know, he was a reporter for the time. So he would just be interviewing people and talking and chatting it up with everybody. And Martha and I are running around with like chickens with our heads cut off. And it was just fun and interesting. And
now, different. When you say people came out, did you mean like people that lived on the island, or were there people coming over?
People
like,
would come over.
No kidding.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what was open where they stay. The Blue Dory, I think, was always open.
Yeah.
There must have been a few places.
I mean, I've heard stories about like places like the National and the Royal before it was the Harborside, that those rooms were like, maybe this was in the 60s or 70s, but like they were just left open and you could just like kind of go up there and crash.
Probably not the greatest locks on those.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I don't know if they were open, but easily opened.
Yes, maybe that's more to the point. Yeah, exactly.
And maybe it wasn't the Island Manor might have been doing something back then. I think it even had a restaurant.
Yeah, and actually, and Meredith had the Neptune going.
Neptune was going, yeah.
Yep, because that was right after Bob Armfield was bartending there, because he was actually my mentor for bartending at Finn's. He taught me how to make all the classic drinks.
It's funny. I never see you with a coffee cup. That was his classic, bourbon in a coffee cup. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And that's funny because all those, all like the classic cocktails are all like hip again now.
Exactly.
Everyone's like all into the like.
But if
the
anyone
classics.
Orders a Brandy Alexander, I don't know.
Just laugh at
that's
them.
Just just a weird drink.
What's in a Brandy Alexander? I don't even know. I'm guessing brandy.
It's
well,
green.
Let's ask the pro.
I don't remember. That's bad.
No, it's not.
It's green.
When's the last time you made one of those?
It's got some kind of cream in it.
Cream de menthe, probably.
Yeah, it must be cream de menthe.
Right?
And brandy. And shaken.
Ew.
So it's frothy.
Yikes.
Oh, my gosh.
It sounds like a recipe for like a really bad hangover.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I suppose you're not supposed to drink more than one.
Well, isn't that true of
most things?
They say that about hot dogs, too. Oh, don't drink those, but you know
well,
what
you can if you put them in a blender.
Boat dogs.
Yeah, a little bit of milk.
Mm-hmm.
So so Nick's, and then summer comes around, and then you're hanging out with all your friends, and you're becoming a local at this point, right? I guess they'd call you a local.
I guess, yeah.
And then, you know, look, Block Island's a romantic place. You at some point you meet a guy, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Who's that guy?
well, wait, let her tell us. It might not be the guy we're talking about.
Maybe, yeah, which guy are you talking about?
No, I didn't meet Jeff until, well, no, I met Jeff, of course, because everyone went to Finn's in the old days for the Workman Special and everything else. It was such a local hangout. So I knew everybody, but we didn't start hanging out till I was probably 28, 29 years old. So yeah, a couple boyfriends before that.
Right.
Fun.
And what are their names? No, just kidding. Just kidding.
And, but, you know, great, great times. And actually, you know, now that I think of it, it was in 84 when the last time I left the island, I had talked to Michelle and Blake about working for them. So there were always several jobs. You know, 84 was that first winter of, you know, doing the furniture and the bartending. And then the next year, I ended up getting a job with Michelle and Blake Phelan.
Real estate?
In the real estate.
Oh, so that's how the real estate game started for
you.
Yeah. And what was their place called? Phelan Real Estate?
Phelan Real Estate, yep. Right on Main Street, right, yep, where Salty Dog and Peppered Cat is.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Booknook was there.
Yes, it was ourselves and the Booknook. Yeah. Yeah, Dan Millay still had the Booknook. And gosh, Sue Gear's mom worked there. But yeah, so we, that was a great place to work. I remember winter nights watching the moonrise in the office.
Wow,
it's
yeah,
such a spectacular spot, yeah, yeah, to work.
And so who was in the office? Just you and Michelle and Blake?
Myself and Michelle and Blake. And then a couple years later, Jennifer Phillips came,
yep,
and worked with us. So it was really just all of us and then all our house checkers and all that other, yeah, kind of thing. And within a couple years, Michelle and Blake asked me if I wanted to manage their rentals. So I started working for them. It was winter of 85. And then in 87, I started managing the rental business and, okay, really kept very busy, but bartended at night still.
Yeah.
And actually, Ed ended his time at Nick's and went over to the Kittens. And right, I followed him over and they opened Winfield's.
Yep.
And I did Winfield's in the summer and Kittens in the winter.
Okay.
I got a quick question before we go too far ahead. Mm. Your grandparents were the first ones, you say, to buy property on Block Island?
Yeah, I think it was my grandparents. I should know this because I'd asked dad a zillion questions and I don't remember them. I'll make it up.
Yeah, we're in.
It was either his grandparents or his great-grandparents. I think it was his grandparents who owned the little white house that I still call the pool cottage on Indian Neck.
Oh, that was going to be my next question. It's not the house that your parents had.
No.
So
nope.
Where is it? You got to refresh my memory.
Yeah, so what's Indian Neck?
Yeah.
Indian Neck is that road that you take if you're going to Innisfail and then up to like Phil O'Brien's and then eventually it went all the way up to the Sullivan House. And
Debbie Howard's mom,
yeah,
owned the house there.
Owned Innisfail.
Yeah. Innisfail, that's the name of that one.
Right.
And then there was another one.
And then the one, there's a new one next to it. And then there's a little white house. It's right on the pond. It's got a porch that goes all the way around. It's a classic Victorian cottage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the Pools owned it for a long time, but Ted Shaw's parents actually bought it from my grandparents and there was a vacant lot next to it. And then when Ted Shaw's parents sold it, the vacant lot ended up getting developed and so on. But, and actually Indian Neck Road might be the road that you take up to Sullivan and went over to Dead Eyes. I don't know exactly, but there was a road in there called Indian Neck Road.
That used to connect. So there was a bridge from, you could get from Dead Eyes to the Sullivan House,
yeah,
way back in the day.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hold on a Blaine second. Was Wait, trying to what? Explain it to us.
I don't remember this.
If you came down from the Pants of the Narragansett on your left off, yeah, the West Side Road, somewhere down there where there's a boat ramp now, used to be connected, you could go straight and you would end up on Cornick Road.
No, yeah, way.
I swear, yeah, to God.
It was like a little, how little do bridge. I
know? Really?
Mm-hmm.
When did that go away? Ish.
Before my time.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah.
I
should know that too.
I would think a hurricane, maybe the 38 hurricane took care of that or something.
Oh, so
like
we're
that.
Talking that well, was that there like, way back.
Well, I think
yeah,
that
way
the,
back.
I think that at the same time it was a necessity because where Sharky's was, you know, is basically Cornick wasn't connected. That was your way to get to Cornick Road. You couldn't just leave town and go straight out Cornick,
right,
from what I think. So then at some point when they dredged harbors and did a lot of work, they filled in where the beachhead is.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty sure the beachhead and Sharky's is all built on fill from the old, mm-hmm, from the dredging.
I have
that's happened out here.
I can't believe I've never even heard this.
It
before.
Could be totally wrong too. Just
by the way, Gail, we make a lot of shit up on this podcast. Like we'll just make
it,
things
we
up.
We say it like we know it's
yeah,
fact.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then yeah. Oh
but this God. Is what I hear because I think Edie was trying to explain. So when she would have to walk down to like Eli's, which was at the time the library.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have to go across by Deadeyes, and then you would head into town.
Wow.
So you would come down Corneck, you take a right on over the bridge to Deadeyes, and then you would take the left and up towards the police station.
That is what
and then I think at some point they joined Corneck with town directly, and that's when you know that cross bridge or whatever it was.
Yeah.
No idea.
That's a good Ben Ruska.
I'll have to break up I do have the history of Block Island photo books. I'll have to look up both
yeah, me
them.
Too. Yeah. I'm going to look them up.
I'm going to read those.
So,
or I'm going to be lazy and just text Ben Ruska.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm Ben knows everything. Ben just knows text everything. Ben.
Can, hey, well, we're at a moment. Should we do our break for...
We still have a few minutes
right,
before
fine,
the
boss,
break.
You
no,
it.
I got
you
one more. Can I sneak a couple
times? Absolutely.
Okay, so can we back up a second? So when sure. you were coming out as a kid, just for summers, vacation, so you weren't renting a place. Your family had a place at that point.
Yeah, we stayed at my grandparents', gotcha. Which is next to Joe Sprague's.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, cool. And then, so... Now you're in. You start working with the Phelans, and you get into the real estate game. Did you ever in your life before that be like, "Oh, I might get into real estate when I'm older," or it just kind of happened?
I actually took a real estate course in college because I went to college for. I went to the University of Sun and Fun.
Yeah,
I went for fun.
What did you study there besides Sun and Fun?
Business. Yeah.
Okay.
But
it
I
worked.
It yeah yeah, and I actually took a real estate class because I thought it would be interesting. I started in criminology, and then I went to journalism and then I went to business. But so I had all these different thoughts in my head, but I took a real estate class out of fun and it really sparked an interest in me. And I loved when we moved because we moved in when I was in high school from Michigan to Pennsylvania. And then from Pennsylvania, I went from there, but I loved looking at houses. I loved seeing the houses because we rented houses first and then moved into a house. Yeah. And then when my parents slowly made their way back east and went to Newport, they were looking at places there. I just thought it's fun. I love houses.
When did they... So you had grandparents owned a house, sold it. That was on the India Point there.
Yep.
Then at some point, your parents bought a house here.
They did. Well, my parents bought the Barrington.
Oh, okay.
In 1981.
Oh.
Oh, see, I didn't know any of that.
Yeah. And did they operate it as an inn, a bed and breakfast?
They did. Oh. And actually, first my uncle did, because my uncle was in that industry. That was his occupation. And so... And he, this is such a fun side tangent, but he used to run the Black Pearl in Baltimore. And that's how I met Walter McDonough.
In Baltimore?
In Baltimore at the Black Pearl, because the Reprobates played at the Black Pearl for my Uncle Jim.
Really?
So I always loved that story.
That's roundabout.
And then he ran the Treadway in Newport, and those guys all played at the Treadway all the time. So then my Uncle Jim came out to Block Island and my parents hired him to run the Barrington for them because they weren't yet retired. My dad worked in Newport. My mom worked in Newport. So then my Uncle Jim ran it. And then that's when I came out. And actually, myself and Martha Winters and Karen Worth all lived at the Barrington together. And then Nancy Pike came and maybe Martha didn't live with us. Nancy, it must have been Nancy and Karen and I. I should have thought all about this for this interview, but I didn't think about anything.
Again,
I thought,
just make it up.
That's the way to go.
Just make it up.
Yes.
Au naturel.
Yeah, we did. And actually, it must have been Martha and I up on the attic and then Karen and Nancy. But yeah, so we had a lot of fun. So my parents bought the Barrington. And then so we lived there in the winter and went through about 10,000 gallons of propane. But
I thought you were going to say wine.
Yeah, well, that too. Vodka.
Oh. Yep. Yep.
But yeah, so.
Brandy Alexander's.
Learned how to chop parsley by Pat Cobb. We used to have dinners. We had so much fun. But so we, so then I ended up finding a place to live. After that first winter, my parents then decided to come out and run the inn themselves. So then I found a place to live with Karen Hickey on Connecticut Ave at Nathalie Dolan's house.
Oh. So how did your parents enjoy the running the inn, the bed and breakfast? Was that?
They loved it. They actually then proceeded to do so for like 20 years.
Oh, they did. So they ran it for that long.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then they bought the house on Mitchell Lane a couple years before they sold the Barrington. And it was probably the last house in the 200,000 range. It was Frank Mitchell's old house, next to Molly Fitzpatrick's, way down in near where Maureen Quackenbush is.
Yep.
Really pretty spot. So yeah, it was an old dilapidated house.
And that property actually at one point in time, again, could be false, but I'm going to say it like it's real. Old bakery.
Yes, there was an old bakery.
I believe there was
yes.
an old bakery. And a lot of the old foundations and some of the equipment is rusted and in the ground there. You can still see it all
yep.
down on that back hill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they cleared a lot of that. And there's a stream actually down there they didn't yes. even know existed. But there is a really cool old wall down there. Yeah.
Nothing like clearing the land to find out it adds a difficulty to developing it.
Yeah.
Oh, there is a wetland down there. I had no idea.
I don't hear
a,
anything.
It's a cool yeah. property. Well, then that's like, that's a run from, there's a big pond to the south of there. And I think that all starts from Fresh Pond, trickles into Seneca, then comes under yeah. Mitchell Lane, and then there's another pond, and then that comes under the road to where you're talking about, and then eventually goes down through that property as a creek.
Right.
And lands in that basin. So it's a long, it's funny how the water out here
exactly
you know, finds its way. Can you build when it's dry? Probably not.
That's a funny thing about a stream. Although that one did dry up a little bit at times, but
yeah, occasionally.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
So when you got in, sorry, when you get into the, I'm interested in the rental thing. When you first started renting, because our listeners, you know, obviously a lot of our listeners love Block Island and they like to come out and rent out here. And as you know, it's like the rental game just keeps getting tougher and tougher. What was it like back in those days? Was it like you, like what was a really nice weekly rental going for in the mid 80s?
A really nice,
you know, like three bedrooms, whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
ish.
They hadn't come along yet.
Right.
No,
exactly.
No,
they were just being
the really
built.
Nice ones.
The really you know. Nice ones. Everything
okay,
was so modest.
Was, well, then what was the average ish?
Well, one of my funnest memories is when we had my Uncle Mike's cottage. And it's a cabin. And there was no phone, and most places didn't have phones. So we had a bulletin board, a chalkboard outside our office, and you would write like, hey, you know, so-and-so at so-and-so cottage, Betty called, give her a call. You know, we would put notes on the board outside the office.
And so if the visitors that were renting a particular property needed to get word from the mainland, they would have to come into town.
If the house didn't have a call, a phone, yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
Some of the cottages didn't have phones. That was
that's
a luxury.
Incredible.
It was the that was the start of TikTok.
And yeah. And those were about
you renting at the Johnsons. Your parole officer called. He
yeah,
needs you
yeah.
to get back to the
right.
Island.
Did you yeah.
Did you know this isn't Connecticut?
Or like, you know, Mr. Smith, your wife called. She says yeah. it's over. She knows you're out there with Gladys. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my god. Yeah. Or yeah, so and so's on the 11 o'clock boat. Get the house cleaned up quick. Right. But you know, there were, and those were like $500 a week.
Oh my God.
Wow. And so I think a probably high end number in those days would have been $2,000 a week.
Wow. And that would have been for something with a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phone,
yeah, brandy
TV.
New.
Wow.
A lot of places didn't have TVs. Yeah. Now, I mean, the first thing people do is call and say, what's the internet password and how come the TV isn't working?
Right. And then you're like, well, I'll call the Trethaways and find out what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
No, it's wow. true. You know, yeah. smart TVs and, you know, it's all the.
But Block Up, you know, Block Island was a popular place. It was a lot of fun. People love it. It's the same kind of thing where people love to come here and yeah. the same people would come year after year. And that was a blessing for us. I mean, we love that. People know the houses and they were willing to tinker in those days. You didn't have to have a lot of Mr. Fix-Its on staff. You know, people would just fix their own doorknob that fell off and screen that got ripped. I mean, people would just fix things.
Yeah.
But you know, so it's, but the popularity was there, but the season was shorter. You know, hurricane season seemed to be much more prevalent or prominent. It just, you know, people boarded places up after Labor Day.
Yeah.
Wow. In the early,
so there's like
80s.
no shoulder seasons really so much.
Not much.
Uh-huh. And when did it really kick off? And like, was it Memorial Day or like June?
Really, for us, race week was the big week, and race week was really big in those days.
Third week of June-ish.
Yeah, June 17th, 19th
yeah.
would start right around there. It was always the last full week of June for Storm Trisail right. anyway. And that would be our big kickoff. And then, you know, after time, you know, people just started coming out earlier, you know, because so much of our business was family driven, you know, so kids were in school. People right. didn't come out. People weren't. It wasn't the, it was still a very popular wedding venue, but not the, not to the popularity that it is today.
What it is now. Yeah.
So you know, there just wasn't as much of that shoulder season, but we were booking. I mean, we would start booking. Well, actually in those days, no, we didn't start booking till January. So we didn't really, you know, you had time to do whatever you wanted in the fall. Yeah, it's so it's always been that beloved place. I mean, people really do, and that's great. That's the one thing about Block Island that has always amazed me and makes me love it that much more is how much people just love it. And, and I think social media has really brought it so much more to our attention today. I mean, I had no idea how obsessed people were.
For better or for worse, I guess. It's And I, again, we had them on our cast a while back. I think the Glass Float Project that Eben Horton started was another thing. That I mean, that it was on like CBS Sunday morning.
It was.
Like, you know, it's huge.
I'm shocked at how many people listen to this podcast. Never. You know.
Yeah. Wait, like, people listen to this?
Who's going to listen to this?
It might end after this interview.
No. It's so good.
All right. With that joke, now maybe it's
now
time.
It's time? All right, let me pretend like I came up with the idea.
Okay.
Ready? Hey, before we go on, maybe we should take a little break and listen to our sponsor.
Oh, my God, Rich, that's a fantastic idea.
All right. Let's
we'll be,
do it.
We'll be right back. Hey, Rich, I feel like I need some exercise. Let's go run the Block Island Triathlon.
I'm more into low impact. How about a gentle paddle?
Oh, sure. Well, we could go explore the Great Salt Pond on a kayak or paddleboard from Ford Island Kayaks.
Yeah, they and you know, they have the Hobie paddleboards, too. You ever try one of those out? It's like a bike on water.
I've heard about that. They've also got the Peekaboo Glass Bottom Kayak.
Yeah, and you can rent all their stuff by the hour, a half day, full day, or even a whole week. If you're going to stay for a week, you can reserve a kayak for a week.
Yeah, but you know what? You might want to make a reservation if your group is six or more. That's a hot tip for you.
Well, that's a good tip. I like it. So basically, you go explore the Great Salt Pond. It's got hidden coves. There's the oyster farms out there, the marinas. Andy's Way is great, you know?
Yeah, it's super cool. And it's operated by and it's located adjacent to our friends at the BI Fishworks place.
Nice. All right. Well, you can hear everything we just talked about and more if you go to the BIFishworks.com or you can give them a call at 401-466-5392.
You know what my favorite thing to do on a paddleboard is?
What's that?
I like to bring a sandwich with me and paddle out to Andy's Way and just kind of camp out there and eat my sandwich.
It's like finding your own private spot.
I just try to not get sand in my sandwich.
Well, better in your sandwich than your shorts. That's my motto.
Yeah, good point. Hey, Rich, guess who I'm dressed as?
Let's see. You got crown, beard, trident. Are you a professional wrestler?
No, I'm King Neptune, duh.
Oh, sorry. King Neptune. Oh, you know what? The Neptune, that reminds me. I got some family coming out, and they're going to stay up at the Neptune house.
Oh, yeah. I love that place. They've got 23 modern condo-style units, right?
Yeah. What's great is they've all got full kitchens with full-size refrigerators. You know, maybe you don't want to eat out every night. You want to make something at home, or maybe you caught some fresh fish that day and you want to cook it on your own.
Right. You know what else? They've got great views and a heated pool, tennis courts, gas grills, picnic tables. They've even got a game room with a pool table for the kiddies.
Yeah. I mean, it's got everything you need to stay there and enjoy a great visit on Block Island. Sammy and the staff, they're always on hand. If you need anything, they're right there for you.
Sammy is so sweet and so nice. And you know what? The staff's great, and the best part is the location is awesome. You're tucked away from the hustle and bustle of downtown, but you're still a short walk to everything, the beaches, restaurants, you name it.
Yeah, I don't think there could be a better location. And, you know, they fill up quick in the summer, but the shoulder season is a great time to visit them as well. They rent spring and fall. Check their website, NeptuneHouse.com.
Hey, Rich, do these bell-bottoms make me look fat?
Bell bottom. Oh, wait. It must be Monday, and you're going to disco night at Captain Nick's.
Well, yeah, of course I'm going to disco night at Captain Nick's. I'm the DJ, man. I got to be there.
That place is so much fun.
So much fun. And the fun doesn't end after Monday, because on Tuesday and Wednesdays, we have dueling pianos followed by Dr. Wes Chesterton's Sloppy Seconds.
What are Sloppy Seconds?
Well, that's when I play the piano for the rest of the drunk people there at the end of the night.
Oh, that sounds fun in itself. And Thursdays, they've got live acoustic acts and full bands and DJs.
Yeah. And Friday and Saturday afternoons, we have acoustic acoustic acts on the deck at 5:30. Fridays are Delaney, and then Saturdays are buddy Rob Davis.
And then Friday and Saturday nights, they've got the best live bands on Block Island, like Derek and the Fun Bags, the Blushing Brides, Fever, Neil and the Vipers, West End Blend, and the High and Mighty Brass Band, just to name a few.
Yeah, and the bands aren't over just because Friday and Saturday night ends. On Sunday afternoons, the Young Guns take the stage on the deck at 5:30.
Sunday Fun Day, and what if you're hungry? They got food, right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so they've serving food out of Captain Galley 7 days a week, including some late night grub. So, you know, if you're hungry, stop in late night and grab a bite.
Yeah, and if you want to check out the full entertainment schedule, let's just head over to CaptainNicksBI.com.
Cooler?
Check.
Ice?
Check.
Drinks?
Check.
That's everything.
All right, let's head down to Fishworks.
All right, I'm excited for this trip.
I am too. And you know what's cool about Fishworks is, I mean, hey, today we're going to go out and try and catch some striped bass, right? But you can get bluefish, fluke, sea bass, bonita, whatever's in season.
Yeah, you can book a light tackle or fly fishing morning charter with Captain Chris for up to 3 people.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. I invited some friends, so we might have to go out on the Harley with Captain Hank because they do half trips and full day trips for up to 6 people.
Oh, and Captain Hank is a hoot. And of course, the shop, you know, the Fishworks Tackle Shop, they have everything you need, including pointers. If you don't want to go on a charter, they can sell you what you need, tell you where to go and how to do it.
Yeah, totally. I think I might pick up a hat and a t-shirt too, because their merchandise is so on point.
Yeah, good looking stuff. They're located at 40 Ocean Avenue and they're open every day in season, and great merchandise.
They really do have some cool stuff. And if you want to check it out online, you can purchase all year long at www.bifishworks.com.
All right.
How cool is that?
Ah, I love it.
All right. Let's go catch some fish.
So we're back with Gail Hall.
Hang on one second. Is it Gail Ballard Hall? What do you go by? Gail Ballard Hall or Gail Hall?
Well, my whole name is Gail Patricia Ballard Hall.
Okay.
And I have to say, Social Security must have wanted to wring my neck when I first got married, because I was Gail Ballard Hall, and then I went, wait, no, I have to keep my name, my Patricia. And so I went Gail Patricia Hall. Wait, no, I need to keep Ballard. So I went back to Gail Patricia Ballard Hall. Today you'd be arrested if you did all that.
Social security cards are bigger now.
Any aliases?
Well, I do have a form. It's an affidavit for all the different deeds or what have you we've had for the different properties I've had with all my different names, because I sometimes am Gail Hall and Gail P. Hall and Gail B. Hall. So, yeah. Gail Patricia Ballard Hall.
That could come
that
in
question.
Handy someday. Just hang on to those.
Oh, I bet it does already with the towns. A while back they tried to do a quick substandard lots of record that are attached.
Yes.
So like we own 2 lots, but they're both, you know, the Trethaways do, but they're all both under an acre. Okay. So what they wanted to do was just erase the line between the two, and it would now become 1 lot.
Oh.
So we had to quickly get our attorney, went in and changed it. So one's like, say, Richard and Patricia, the one's Richard at all, you know.
I see.
However,
I see.
The word
had to be,
as long as it's slightly different,
okay.
You know, in the it doesn't have the exact same name on the title at the town hall, then they can't merge the lots.
Huh. Right? It's all about crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
Yeah, it's all about. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty sneaky move.
Very sneaky.
Sneaky. Think about all the buildable lots you'd get rid of, because
right
now, instead of, you know, say somebody else's lot, say 2-3/4 acre lots, each legally buildable.
Yeah,
you'd have 1-1.5 acre lot still buildable, but you're down to that one house on that.
What yearish did that go down?
Probably like 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, was it really?
At least. Not, and I don't.
All towns do it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And okay. Now I don't think that's mandatory anymore. They talk about it, but I don't think it's actually in the books that any lots that are contiguous have to be merged unless they're under different owners. But it was a conversation, and then so everyone scrambled and changed so that it to avoid it,
just
but,
in case.
And was there anybody that like was that you know of that like wasn't really paying attention to stuff, and then they showed up the next year and they're like, nope, sorry.
I don't think they ever ended up following through.
I think it was all about the meeting. It was on the agenda to be voted on, and that was it. If it got voted yes, you know, it was going to go into effect rather quickly. So it was all about getting your stuff reorganized name-wise prior to that.
Oh, okay.
So we're back with the Barrington.
Oh, yeah.
So your parents owned it. Then did they sell it after that?
They did. They sold it, and my sister Jerry bought it.
From them?
Yeah, from
them. That's what I was wondering about, the full circle thing. And then she did it for a couple of years.
Because Jerry, for about 8 years.
You ever meet Jerry, Mark?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
similar. She looks a lot like you.
Yeah, okay. We do look alike. We didn't look alike forever, and then we looked alike as adults. It's really wild. But she's brunette, and I'm blonde.
Okay.
But her hair is curly now, which is really crazy.
And it never was before?
No. It was wavy, but not curly. Now her hair is actually curly. My mom and I marvel about it every time we get together. And we just stare at Jerry.
You have the same facial features. You have the same eyes and the same facial features.
So. Where's your sister now?
She's in Menominee, Michigan, where we grew up, actually.
Oh, okay. She's back there.
She and Mike had sold the Barrington and moved to Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, and had bought an inn there and ran it there for a while.
Oh.
But then Mike had kept a cottage. Mike had bought a cottage when he was just after high school, I think, in Menominee. So they're living there. They're loving it.
Wow. Does she ever get back out to the island? Does she come visit ever?
We were all out here last September for my dad's memorial.
Yep.
And then... When my dad and my mom moved to Florida, they'd always try to come up every year and rent a house, and everyone would come. So my siblings and everybody would come. So yeah, they were coming out about once a year.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good. Gail's dad had a house watching business.
Yes.
Before he started going to Florida, he would be here all winter, and that was his gig. It's kind of where I learned, I started doing it. And then he started to go to Florida. So he would ask me if I would keep an eye on the 20 or 30 houses.
So really you got into the house watching biz through Gail's dad.
I think I grew because I realized that this guy is ripping me off because he's charging these people. He's charging them $100 a house and I'm getting 35. And I'm like, I got to cut out the middleman. So no, but I learned, you should learn by working for somebody else. Learn there's an opportunity out there.
He loved doing that.
He did.
He's a person who worked until he was 80. And then when he was fully retired, he was still doing things like building model ships. He built the Titanic. My cousin Katie had bought this model, the Titanic, for her sons. And because they loved to be busy and they never did it. And she gave it to him and he created this Titanic. And they have it in the lobby of the establishment they live in Florida. Yeah,
really?
It's huge.
Yeah,
These other sailboats and all these other things that he has built with all these teeny weeny teeny little pieces and parts.
Yeah, those are incredible. Detailed stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, are you like your dad in the sense where are you the kind of person that's never going to retire? Do you always have to stay busy?
Yeah, I do like to stay busy.
What do you do when you're not renting, selling real estate and stuff? What do you do to stay busy?
Well, I've joined the planning board. That's keeping me busy. I'm still on the Fred Benson committee. So I do committee work and still on the Lions Club. And I actually just joined my friend Pat and Molly and Robbie to do resurrected the road race with Pat at our helm. So just doing stuff like that. But also, I love to ski. I just said to you guys, we just got back from skiing.
Down Mohegan Bluffs.
There were winters here when we would ski down, the Spring House. So, we would be sledding and skiing there, or the Barbara Temple's Hill, which is now Kessa Schaefer's house. There was a hill there where Kessa's house is. You could ski down that. And cross country skiing. I took Ed and Jeff on a cross country ski trip and around the island, and it was the first thing that I found that they couldn't do that I could do.
Nice.
It was so I had them bleeding and lost in the bushes because they couldn't make a turn on the Fresh Pond Run. I was so happy.
Look at you. Look at you. How gloating. I love it.
Wow.
Fantastic.
It's almost like she was on a mission.
It's almost like she
just
was
one night she
fight.
Just sat up in bed and said, I got it. Cross country skiing.
That's it.
What's those bastards.
It was hilarious. Yeah, they were not happy with me. Yeah, pick the trickiest run.
I bet they wanted
the sharpest turns.
They wanted to learn.
Just watch them wipe out in a bush
they
somewhere.
They definitely wanted to get better. I guarantee that.
It's hilarious.
Your husband, Jeff, mm-hmm. When did you guys marry? When did you guys get married?
We got married in 95.
95.
We started hanging out. We were together for 7 years before we got married.
Yeah.
And then we had Griffin 2 years later. So it's been, how many years is that? I don't know, 28 years, I think it'll be in September. But
of sheer bliss.
Then 30, 100?
Well, I was going to say the 7 years prior just took you that long to meet all the halls.
Exactly.
Because how far back does Jeff's family go on the island?
All
the way back.
Both of his parents, I think, have ties to original settlers.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was it like, you know, marrying into a, like a hardcore island family? I mean, you've been here for, you were obviously part of the community at that point.
So yeah.
But was it like, I don't know, what was it like?
It's great. I mean, it's so interesting because they, you know, they know all the history. And of course they can tell me the stories a thousand times and I forget all the details, but it's so interesting to meet people who really are truly salt of the earth.
Yeah.
I mean, how they lived, you know, when you talk to Barbara about going to the West Side, like her mom, I think they had property down in Kunamis, the property that Peggy Montgomery owns right now. They owned that at one time, and to go to the West Side was
like, you know, an Arctic expedition. Yeah. You had to like pack
up. I mean, Harriet Phelan, when we sold our house in Old Town Road and bought on the West Side, Harriet Phelan said, why do they want to go all the way to the West Side? And Martha Ball's like, I haven't been to the West Side in 10 years. Yeah. You know? I mean, what are you doing? It's like, it's the way the sun sets over there. I mean, it's so beautiful over there. But yeah, they're just good people.
Yeah.
They're such hardworking. And I will never forget Sherm Dodge, my first Thanksgiving. Sherm is Jeff's grandfather. And there's like 15 people in the house. There's all these little card tables. You know, you have the kiddie table and you have everything and everybody's eating. And Sherm just looks at me and says, if you don't get enough to eat, it's your own damn fault. Well, I was like, okay.
Yeah. What meaning? What you gotta get up there before the food's gone.
Get in there.
You know, elbow your way in.
Get right in. 20, with everybody
28
else.
People and only enough turkey for 26.
No, yep. They're good. They're but like I said, it's just been they're a good yeah. family.
And from what I understand, so like it's been, you know, talked about before, and so your sister-in-law is Annie Hall.
Yes. Yep.
And. So Jeff and Glenn, apparently they were like catches. They were good looking dudes back in the day, and they were like supposedly, you know, they were eligible bachelors. It sounds like you bagged a good one.
I'm still pretty attracted to both of them. Yeah. Now
I mean they are these rugged, like, yeah, you know, looking good. I mean, your husband's looks like a blonde version, islandy version of Tom Selleck, basically, for a while. When he has a mustache.
Magnum
I don't know if he has a mustache right now.
Magnum B.I.
He has one of the... Does he have the mustache right now? Because I've seen him both.
He's had the mustache since he was 16.
Hasn't he been without it ever?
No.
He hasn't. I feel like I've seen him clean shaven for some reason.
I'm definitely using Magnum B.I.
I know, right?
Magnum B.I.
Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. It might have been Katie who tagged that. Somebody did. I can't remember, but...
So someone already came up with Magnum B.I.?
Someone came up with that, yeah.
Dude, it's an incredible, as a guy who is a newcomer to the mustache game, I've only had mine about three or four years now. I got to tell you, it's an impressive one.
Right?
One of the best.
Yeah. It's funny because he doesn't thin it now. So it's almost like, you know, a Sam Elliott mustache.
Yes.
He's got a good mustache.
Yeah.
He's a good looking guy too.
He's a good looking guy. Cool dude too.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 4:30 in the morning and I hear this rich and I roll over on my pillow and there's Jeff. And I'm like, am I dreaming? And then he goes, here, brother. And he hands me the bottle of Bushmills.
Shut up.
And I'm like, nope. I forgot. We're going fishing today. It was we were going fishing in Florida.
Oh, that was in Florida. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. My favorite line from that fishing excursion was, sir, you're really not supposed to pull the alligators out of the water. Yes. It's got one holding it by its neck.
Fortunately, he's a professional in the catch and release program.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lucky he didn't release a finger or two.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Do you think he'd come talk to us someday?
Oh, I think you should have.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Will you put a bug in his ear for us?
I would love to.
All right.
Yeah. There's just such great history there and the stories he can tell. Oh my gosh. And when he first got his cab, I said, we have to all dress up and get in the cab completely incognito and see what the guy has to say. Because, you know, he's telling stories. And like you said, you know, you just say it like you know it and you own it. And people believe
it.
So
you actually did this?
He did. Yeah.
No, you did this, though? Did
no,
you
we did.
Dress up?
We should have.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, that'd be hilarious if he didn't even know it was you. And he just starts telling all these.
So funny.
Oh, my God.
Why? Are you saying he tells, like, he embellishes on certain stories, you think?
I think he's really good at that. Huh, yeah. Okay.
Right. You know what's good on Block Island? Over time, you hear the same story, but it's slightly different.
It's amazing.
And it's like a new story. It's fantastic.
It really is.
Not just, not Jeff. I'm not saying Jeff would never do that. But you know.
I know exactly
what
you're
saying. There's a few where you start out thinking, oh, God, here comes this story again. And, oh, there were seven of you.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You were in a 10-foot boat, not a 28-foot sail. You know, it's
and it could take a decade before certain little details about that story present themselves.
Or get altered by our altered minds.
Right, exactly. You know? It's like a game of telephone, basically. Trying to tell stories around here.
So, well, let's not jump. So my next question would probably jump us so far ahead. So I remember, so I'm the dumb that I don't watch and pay attention. So all of a sudden I turn around and this waitress at Finn's has her own real estate business. So at some point you went on your own. And about what year was that?
That was in 97. I had worked for Michelle and Blake for 12 years, and we had talked about me buying their business. And then when I was really ready, they weren't quite ready. So I was like, well, I'm going to do this. And of course, I do this in a fashion where I have a baby, we're renovating our house, and I start a real estate business in an office that wasn't ready yet.
Perfect.
It's okay. You're a haul.
Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah.
But we got her done, and it grew from there. And then when the Phelans were ready, Michelle came to me and then I bought their business back. So we've really been working together for like 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, minus the two in between. But,
and when you decided to go out on your own, you had their blessing, I assume, or
was. Yeah. You know, kind of. I mean, because I was ready, they weren't quite ready. So it's always a little bit of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of went silently on my own. And then I made the announcement in the fall once our season was over. And I said, look, I'm really making the move. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So it was sad at first and then it became good. And now it's great.
We've heard a few stories too, like that, you know, I mean, and that's the nature of Block Island. And that's one of the things that is like, I don't know, I'm a little afraid of that kind of going away. I mean, it never will totally go away, but you know what I mean? Like places like, again, the Surf was purchased by a corporation, but it's like some of these businesses, they're the property is worth so much that the mom and pops can't, there's no way for them, and they need work. And it's just, you know, like that whole thing. Because I was mentored by, you know, someone out here as well and brought into the business world. Right. Same, I mean, like you said.
And the Barrington's a great example. Like that went from your parents to your sister.
Right.
And now it's still just a Block Island couple that Peterson's.
Exactly. Who bought it. What, so
Stu's
happy.
Stu's last name. I'm sorry. It's not Peterson, but.
I don't know Stu's last name either, but
we don't care, Stu. Right. Sorry.
Just make it up.
But he married Henry Peterson's daughter. And now they own it. And they
right,
operate,
right.
Yeah.
Right,
which is
so
fantastic.
Cool that it stays in these, you know, local people.
And like the bookstore, you know, I helped Cindy Lasser sell that to Susan Bush.
Yep.
I was so glad because even if the Book Nook wasn't going to be in existence any longer, it was so great when Jono bought that and kept that running. And then they decided to close that for whatever reason. But then when Island Bound stayed in existence, that's just so important.
Yeah.
You love a local bookstore. There's, there's businesses, you know, and boutique inns, boutique real estate businesses, boutique everything.
And you've gotten out of the rental game at this point, right?
I did. Yeah. It's now our third year. Which is hard to believe.
And how's that changed your life? I mean, much fewer headaches, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's monumental. I miss it. I miss the juggling act.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed that juggling act. Maybe that's part of my father and me, is just being busy, tackling issues, always, you know, just trying to help people, you know, and people, the ultimate goal is to make everybody happy. I had a really good team. I miss not having working with everybody. Now we have a great group of us in an office. It's much quieter, but I miss my old team. I love my new team. But we really had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was really such a good business. But when my office didn't want to take it over and no one in the business wanted to either buy it or lease it or manage it, it was just time to just kind of
let
it all go. Because it wasn't about the money. It was about the business and keeping everyone happy and working with all these people we'd work with for so long. I mean, some of the owners Michelle and Blake had started with in 1978 when Blake started.
Yeah.
So that was hard, but it's been a huge relief on my brain. But when you had said something earlier about what do you do with your time, I'm still looking for that other thing, like one more little thing to keep my days busy.
May I make a suggestion?
Sure.
I can probably get you back in bartending at Captain Nick's if you want. I have a connection there.
Not a bad idea.
So I'm just saying, you know, if you know, we'd like to talk about the whole full circle. I'm just saying. Yeah. Just saying, it's an option.
And if you've been there, done it, you could do it on rollerblades this time.
Right. Brandy Alexander.
I could specialize in Brandy Alexander.
Sure, why not? So who was your staff?
Have to be piano night.
What's that?
It would have to be piano night.
You got it. That would be great. Yes. I'd love to. We could be a team. I'll sell the Brandy. I'll push the Brandy Alexanders. You make them. I mean, Katie and I had that racket going for like 10 years. It worked pretty well. So when you had we're still doing the rentals, and you had the team, the larger team. Where was your office? That were right across in the old post office?
In the old post office building.
Right.
Yes.
Right next to what is now the old post office bagel shop.
Correct.
And who was your team? Who were your, at that point?
Michelle and Blake and Chelsea. Chelsea started working with us just a couple years after. And then Heidi Talmadge, Laurel Littlefield Payne. Who else was with us? And then we had a ton of house checkers.
Yeah. Did Rosemary?
Oh yeah, Rosemary was. She worked with us for 10 years. Right. And God, am I forgetting somebody? Judith Cyrenak.
Okay. So you guys had no fun at all.
None
in the office.
David.
Oh, so boring. David Graham. Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's on my. He's high on my wish list for a guest.
Oh absolutely. Gosh, yes, yeah. Absolutely. Be fantastic. He's got great stories. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he he's still licensed actually.
Oh, okay.
He's our octogenarian.
So that must have made.
Okay, not sure.
It's always good to have one around.
Who's 86 and a real estate agent?
I mean, come on,
David.
I don't even plan on being 86. Awesome.
So yeah, that must have made it easier when you'd have those every now and then. You'd have like maybe a difficult client or renter, and you know, someone who's just completely off the rails, like being a jerk or whatever. So you guys all could probably just make fun of them after their eighth call about complaining about, like, you know.
Well, and Michelle is still the queen of kindness. You know, she can make anyone feel comfortable and good and nice, you know, when they leave. I, on the other hand, would be do as I say, not as I do, because I could lose it sometimes. But
no,
I
know.
See
do you believe that?
That?
No.
I know. I'm so introverted and sweet.
I would love to see what that looks like Gail getting mad. She, yeah. Gosh darn it, guys.
Yeah.
She does it. She has a business side.
Right.
She has a business.
Whenever I think of Gail, I think business. Yeah. That's
if
the
I walk
thing
into her office, she's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, listen, I'm thinking about renting. The face changes and we come, boom. And she sits down and she stares at you. And then it's a different, and then as soon as that conversation is over, you're back to, all right, yeah, we're going skiing. You know, it's like, but she definitely, you know, gets in the business
gets into
mode.
The serious
I can
mode.
Say this. My sister actually was renting a property through you for a time.
Yep.
And she, since you no longer are doing the rentals, she's been having a terrible time trying to get a place. So she misses, my sister misses you very much.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yes.
And not good to hear, but good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the earlier days, you helped us find this property that we're sitting in right now recording.
Really?
Yeah. She was our agent that we bought it from.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I think I was told, you know, she goes, I could be wrong. I think she said that. I could be wrong, but I have this funny feeling you guys are getting the last good deal on Block I. Because it was right before.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be transparent. We bought these two lots with a multifamily house on one of them, and we paid, I think, $370 for the whole, for both lots.
Yeah.
And so we still have
what year was that? I always ask what year it
was. 90.
No.
I was still, when the plane crashed into my restaurant, I'm going to say 98, 97.
That's
right. That's late.
It was right on that. That was it.
Yeah.
And then it was gone. It was still where people could turn their nose up a little at something like the airport. They could still be like, isn't there anything a little bit further? Little do they know, like if you're on the west side, little secret, the planes are noisier as they go over your house over there than they are. Like here you just hear
this
for like
more entertaining.
1 second and they're gone and you watch them come and go.
But, watch on a windy day.
But if you live like under the flight path over the west side, it's a long, loud noise when they go over, you know, compared to us. Yeah.
We went to court over that 1 year. Or it might have been the chickens. Michelle and I had to go to
Plains,
court
chickens.
In Litchfield, Connecticut over a tenant complaint over, it was between the roosters and the planes.
Really?
Yeah. It was that flight pattern, and then the roosters would crow at 5:30 in the morning.
Nice.
And that was in the old days of answering machines, so you get in the morning and listen to the voicemail. 5:30 in the morning. Oh, God. Yeah, that was wild.
There's too much to write on a chalkboard.
The judge made us go to into a mediation room and settle it.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine.
Really? Like,
you got to be kidding me. Yeah, I think he was trying to be serious, but it was kind of hard to...
Well, the other side, and we'll be gentle here, but the other side that I know for a fact, Mark, I've talked with Gail about this because house watching, you have some similar aspects. It's not necessarily the tenants that can be challenging. It's the homeowner that insists that 101% of the money they get from renting is theirs and should never go back into fixing up the house.
Oh, yeah.
Or replacing a table. Right. And you're like, what are you not understanding? Yeah, I know the table broke, but it was 35 years old and it had one leg half off already. And, well, they should pay for that. No. 30 years is enough and you should put a new table in there, you know. But yeah.
There's the art of negotiation comes into play.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tricky.
Do you enjoy that part? I mean, the whole negotiating thing?
I did. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy negotiating. That's why I'm remaining in real estate and still being a broker and a salesperson. I love houses and I love going through properties and I love all the details involved in it all. But I do love working with people. I think, you know, just finding, you know, you never can get into their psyche. Don't ever try to figure out why someone's thinking a certain way. But trying, you know, negotiating how to get to the ultimate goal is the key. And that's the fun part.
Yeah.
You know, what made you start the process in the first place? What makes you tick? What part of the island do you love? And that's what's so interesting about the island is everyone has their favorite side. You know, everyone has their area that they call home.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. You know, it's rare when someone says, oh, anywhere's on the island is fine. Oh, I love the north end. Or I really want to be on the south side. I really need to see sunsets. It's fun.
That's cool. Yeah. Can you do me a favor? Mm-hmm. Can you please let me know if there's anything in that $300,000, $400,000 range?
Yes.
Just let me know.
You're in. Okay.
I think we talked about it in our opener.
We did. Yeah, there's a closet available.
That's right.
Yeah. They've condoed out their closet.
You can buy it. Sleeping. It's a timeshare.
You know? Yes, that's right.
You know, what do you, we don't have to get too, what do you think about the, you know, we like to talk about how, again, we've been talking about how the island's changing and it sounds like that mid-90s point was kind of a tipping point in one way. And, but, you know, again, we found that, you know, the further you go back, depending on who you ask, there's always been like, oh, that's the year. And if some people say, oh, it was in the 70s when it really started going to hell. Oh, the 80s it started going to hell. What do you think of where how are we doing now as an island and a community? Are you, you know,
feeling optimistic? I'm the eternal optimist actually.
Good,
but
me too.
I do find that what I like about what's happening today is people are coming to spend the summer. You know, their kids.
Yeah.
There was a time when, like in the 80s when I started, a lot of people were buying to eventually retire, which was awesome too. And then there was a change where people were just buying for investment and it seemed to be predominantly, but now we're back in the place where people are buying to spend their summers so their kids can work here and call this home in the summertime and get that island experience.
Yeah.
I find that really very beneficial for everybody, for the people who live here, for the people who work here, for people, you know, you get that great mix of everyone.
Yep.
And what it really means is people are investing here because they love it here.
Yeah.
And they want their kids to have, or even just themselves to have an experience, of island living. And it's very different as we all know. And we're very lucky that we don't have a bridge. We were talking about this little island, Amelia Island off of Florida, and they have a bridge, but I met a guy on the transit from Denver to Colorado, to Frisco, to going to the airport anyway. And he has a house in Amelia, and he says it's still rustic and charming. And I said, how do you maintain that with a bridge?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't get a clear answer. I didn't get a real clear answer. It was mainly...
That's funny. Someone on an island giving you like a foggy, hazy answer about something.
Exactly. Kind of par for the course. Yeah. I think it was too laid back or nothing to do. And so it's great that people still come here because there really is still
nothing to do. Yeah, but there's still enough fun.
There's all outdoors. Yeah. I mean, it's all about being outdoors.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Fisher's Island, there's really nothing to do. Like, they don't in any way want to promote. I heard it costs more to bring a bicycle there than a car. Like, you know.
Right.
They just don't want to promote the restaurants or anything.
The Illuminati generally doesn't like people hanging around on where they live.
I'm not sure what aluminum foil has to do with this.
Long story.
I've never been to Fisher's Island, but I think the kids are playing basketball there today.
They are. And I have a friend who has stayed in Airbnb that eventually we're going to be doing our first, or whatever, two guys on a different island. And we're going to go over
there and
do an interview with him and their museum curator.
Great.
Yeah, should be interesting to see it. Different islands.
Yeah.
You know, what's the difference?
Right. Yeah, because there's got to be a lot of, inherent differences. But, you know, people, the philosophy, the why are you here, is just got to really all stem from the same heartfelt reasoning.
Yeah, that's the other thing we talk to people about is like, what is it about this living on an island thing that attracts certain people and completely repels others. You know, like I've had friends that have come to visit and they're like here for a night or two and they're like, get me out of here. Just something about being detached.
Yes.
You know, some people crave it. Other people just scares the shit out of them.
And it brings me back to the day that I decided I was going to live here forever. It was Labor Day weekend. I had spent the winter in the Keys. I was supposed to go back. I had a job in North Key Largo. At a sailmaking shop, actually. They made windsurfing sails and repaired sailboat sails. And Freedom Sails was the name of the company. I was supposed to go back, and it was Labor Day, and I'm standing at the boat with Mike Flanagan, and it's blustering.
Mike Flanagan.
Oh, such the funniest guy on the planet. We are standing at the boat. It's blustery. It's blowing a gale. And two Denny's.
Can't miss that one.
It's just crazy out. And the boats, you know, they were running, but it's the Manitou and the Manistee and it's just rough. And I look out and I'm like, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go anywhere. Yep. I love this place.
Yeah.
There's just something about it.
I don't think you can't explain to anybody what it's like to be here on the island during a really bad nor'easter or a hurricane. Oh,
it's such a good feeling to hunker down.
It's so cool. It's
used to love it I didn't own the restaurant, so I wouldn't be happy if I did. But as an employee, those are great days.
Yeah.
It was a shore day and the restaurant was open, but you weren't sweaty. And
it
was just really, not you, Gail, you never sweat. you glisten.
And actually, no, but oddly enough, I don't. I get beet red though, but I'm not a sweater.
Oh,
really?
I know. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Huh.
It's weird.
Interesting.
Have you had your pores checked?
How did you know?
Yeah.
Where are we going with this?
No.
From now on, I'm going to say it's blowing a gale.
Speaking of sweat, and that's how we started with it. You're not a sweater, but you're wearing a very nice sweater.
I know.
It's blowing a gale and two Magnum BIs out there.
Now, one of my favorite early memories of like being on the island, my first or second season, 96 or 7, I stayed late in the season in October, and nor'easter something shut the boats down 2 or 3 days, and I was living above Captain Nick's. I was the last one there for the season, and it was like 2 days of just me like in this room above Nick's, and it was like the whole building would like move like that, but for some reason it wasn't scary. It was just the cool. And then when the rain dies down and everything, enough for you to go out and like check out the waves and stuff, everyone's looking to go for a cruise and like go check things out, and it's just
love watching that first boat come in after they canceled for like 3 days and you're just like, oh. You know, they're trying to get in there because they got to get the mail and the milk and all kinds of other things that we used to think we couldn't live without. But seeing that thing tip and do the giant swell. And I got washed off the break wall once.
You did?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a smart idea to go out there.
No, I always say that.
I'm like, what could happen with a backpack full of booze? You know?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a safety chute.
Wall?
Ballard side. Yeah.
Gosh.
Man.
Well, that photograph that Malcolm Greenaway has, I always look at that and go, how did that guy not get washed off? He has one classic photo of a big wave coming over, and there's a guy on the breakwater. He's not right under the wave, but he's on the breakwater.
Well, that's because he took it before the wave hit. Yeah. I think you're giving a lot of credit there to the guy for not knowing what happened after the picture.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, listen, I'm sure we could talk forever. But we better think about wrapping it up here.
I think it's getting there, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much. Thanks, Gail. I hope you had a fun time.
I had a great time. And I could sit and talk to you guys all day. I
mean, thanks. You know, Same here.
But I'm honored to be asked. I thank you both. Oh, and I think it's a great podcast. I think it's so much fun. And I'm just so glad that I could wear my dad's sweater.
Yeah, wow.
Because he's the guy. Perfect. He's the guy who brought me to Block Island.
Hey, how would you feel about a quick lightning round before we say goodbye? Yeah. It's easy. First thing that comes to mind.
Uh-oh.
We do it lots of people.
Okay.
Yeah. But not everyone. Just depends on.
Sometimes we just forget.
What we're in the mood for, if we're tired or, you know. Yeah.
Do you want to start or do you want me to?
Yeah, I'll start. Okay. Who do you text the most?
Kate and Claire.
Mm.
What is a good spy code name for you?
Oh boy. Gailey Bird.
Nice. Agent Gailey Bird. Would you rather stay in during a snow day or go out and build a fort?
Out.
I knew that was coming. What's your favorite seat on the island to be served a beverage?
Oh, any more? What is my favorite seat? Okay, quick. The barn.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Do you know how to perform a magic trick?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not at all.
Yeah, she makes properties that are for sale disappear.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent.
There we go. There you go. Going with that one.
What's your go-to snack?
My good hummus.
Oh, hummus.
Nice.
That's good.
Yeah. Hummus makes me gassy. Perhaps if I didn't eat the whole tub.
That is the problem. Yeah. I do like you to eat the addicted. Whole tub.
Yeah, that's like going down like nothing.
Don't try and wash it down with a Brandy Alexander.
I love it with chips. I know healthy people like vegetables, but
that's
I like
a Pepto-Bismol commercial.
Yeah, I like the chips. All right, well, I think we best get wrapping it up.
So, sure.
You listeners out there, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Gail. And as always, you can reach out to us with anything you like, questions, comments, concerns. Well, keep the concerns to yourself. We are two guys.
We don't care.
Two guys on bi@gmail.com.
Yeah, and you can also express your concerns on social media, which a lot of people are fond of doing, quite frankly. So you can follow us on like Instagram, Facebook, and whatever you do, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to it. And most importantly, please tell your friends about it and, you know, spread the love.
Yeah.
Right. Well, once again, thanks, Gail.
Thanks, Gail.
Great. We'll see
you
around.
Thank you both.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Rich, fun see time. You next week.
See you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Rich.
What's up, Mark?
I was thinking about making a couple Brandy Alexanders. Do you have any cream de menthe on you?
If it way in the back of the cabinet.
Okay.
And I think it's more like cheese de menthe by now.
Well, all right. Any port in a storm, as they say.
That's right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, and one last thing. Whether you're a local or just visiting Block Island, pick up a copy of the Block Island Guide. Published annually for the last 35 years, it features 120 pages full of killer photos and all the details you need to know. Most importantly, it's fun to read. What shall we do with the sailor? What shall we do with the sailor? What shall we do?